Okay, one thing is for, I guess, once again, since I can't see, I assume that Jairati is on the line, right? No, I'm just going to say something. And that is that last time we talked, then it was clear that Madhavananda was going to be, Mangalananda Prabhu was sending some Lakshmi. And that you're supposed to just send me a reminder of that and inform me, but no one informed me. But now it arrived. It's just that, you know, I wasn't expecting it, but someone was supposed to inform me.
Send the money, but he just forgot to inform you.
Okay, I've received it. But it's always. But you shouldn't forget to inform me. It's always better that I know in advance, so that then I can inform the accountants to be waiting for the Lakshmi. Otherwise, it's just, you know, there's a lot. There are different transactions, and they don't know what it's for, so they don't necessarily automatically come to me. Okay. So anyway, now that's settled. What will we do? We have some questions.
Defer or recognize where Maya acts or when Kali acts.
Does it really matter? We can just take it that Kali is an agent of Maya. Generally speaking, I don't know that Kali is personally involved in arranging for individuals' situations. Usually reference to individuals' temptations are to Maya Devi and not to Kali. It generally seems that Kali is overall in charge of sinful activity, and that Maya Devi then is the one who tempts the individuals to participate in sinful activities. So it's Kali who is managing these four sinful things: illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and then hoarding gold. And then it's Maya Devi who tempts the individual living entities to actually participate in these activities. That's about as much distinction as generally we read about. The main thing is to be free from both. The other influence of Kali is just the general overall atmosphere of the world around us is Kali's influence. It may not be that we're doing anything illicit, or we may not be doing anything bad, but just the atmosphere of other people doing bad also influences us. So that can be said to be the influence of Kali. But whether it's the influence of Kali, or the influence of Dwapara, or the influence of Satya, or Treta, they're all agents of Maya. So all of these different personified ages have their own influence, but they're all agents of the material energy. So, and generally, it's to be understood that it's easier to become free from the influence of Kali than from the influence of Maya. By Namabhas, one can become free from the influence of Kali. But one actually has to chant very purely, and actually chant with love, in order to completely be free from the influence of Maya. A person can be in the mode of goodness, which is more or less that he's free from the influence of Kali, but he's still under the influence of the material energy. And to be free from the material energy, one has to come to the transcendental platform. Any questions on that?
Prabhu has another question. His question is there a text of Mahabharata as it is? Because there are many versions of Mahabharata, and he would like to know whether some original version of Mahabharata.
The Mahabharata by Krishna Dharma Prabhu is very good. Krishna Dharma. Yes, he studied many versions of Mahabharata and many editions, and he has both an abridged one and a long one, and that's very good. It's available. It's in English and it's printed by Torchlight. Another question?
Sometimes devotees are compelled to be engaged in activity which is not appropriate to their nature. They are forced by their life situation to do something else beyond their nature. And there is an understanding in ISKCON that any service that we perform has importance. The main thing is to act with pure motivations and have a desire to please Krishna. Whether we peel potato, whether we worship deities, or whether we preach. So, should we be eager or should we aim to do that service that is appropriate to our nature? Or should we be content with with whatever service we get?
Yes.
Whatever occupation we get.
Does everybody see that question? Well, if there's in a properly functioning Varnashram society, then people can act according to their nature. But we're far from being in a Varnashram society. For instance, here in Krishna Valley, people who want to come and live here, the basis is that they're willing to do whatever is required of them. We don't have the luxury of being able to engage everyone according to their nature, although we try to organize it in that way. If out of 100 devotees, 90 devotees want to do deity worship, it's not possible to run a society like that. So that type of practice works when you have a whole country that's Krishna conscious, or when there's a very large number of people, I mean like thousands. If, however, one is so fortunate that either working for ISKCON or one's own work is something that is according to one's nature, then he's fortunate. And that's ideal. We don't necessarily live in an ideal world. So whether it's serving Krishna or working to maintain ourselves, often we find that we have to do the needful instead. You see, in the outside world, people have some kind of profession. They went to school to do something that they like to do. Just maybe they were some kind of engineer. But if there's no employment for those engineers, then they have to do something else, because they have to eat. So the necessities of the economics dictates what it is that you have to do. And the same is the case in our temples or our communities. For instance, fundraising or sankirtan may not be devotees' nature, but if devotees don't do it, then we don't maintain our society. So yes, we should be happy with the service that we're given, because it's more important to serve Krishna than to be acting according to our nature. However, if we can do both, then that's Krishna's mercy. Anyone have any questions about that?
On this topic, are we able at all to define our nature? Are we capable to do it? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that it's better to perform our own duties, even in a perfect way, rather than perform someone else's duties. How can we define our nature?
Well, those are two things, duties and nature. or they may be two things. They may be the same thing, they may be different. So with the generally, with the help of devotees, we can define what our nature is like. And when Krishna talks about one's swadharma, that may be work according to your nature, or it may be work that you're given that's not according to your nature, but it's assigned to you. So Arjuna's swadharma as a kshatriya was to fight. But Yudhisthira Maharaj also gave Krishna, Krishna gave Yudhisthira Maharaj the swadharma to lie. So it was not Yudhisthira Maharaj's nature to lie, but because Krishna told him to do that, that was his swadharma. So when Krishna says swadharmam api chaviksha, everyone should do their dharma, that means primarily that everyone should do what their duty is. What is your assigned, what is the duty that is assigned to you by Krishna? Just like Krishna Priya Devi Dasi's swadharma may not be financing book publication. It may not be Jairadhe's swadharma either. But because it's the service that they receive, therefore it's their duty to do that. So just like my swadharma as a sannyasi may not be to be in a community of householders. My duty, my swadharma, according to sannyasi, is to just travel and preach. But because it's my duty in order to be a spiritual inspiration and a spiritual anchor, therefore I'm doing something different than what my swadharma is. And so my duty becomes my swadharma. Because for a Vaishnava, his swadharma is what pleases Krishna.